Hey friends, so I am recording this the same week that we are running week three of Paper Camp, which is our marketing week. And our marketing week is where we talk to buyers about their buying preferences, how they like to be pitched, how much follow-up is too much, like some core pieces of our both acquisition and retention strategies. And I often see a lot of our students and even non-students struggling with this concept of I'm putting myself out there and I'm not hearing anything back. And so today on the podcast, I wanted to tackle a pretty big misconception that I hear all the time in the wholesale world, and I'm hearing it now this week too, is that folks saying, I've been pitching to stores, but they're not replying. Maybe my pitch just isn't good enough. And here's the truth. Most of the time, your pitch isn't the problem. The real issue is your wholesale foundations. So things like your product readiness, your pricing, your terms and conditions, those things might not be in alignment with what buyers are expecting to see. And too often, I see brands jumping straight into pitching their products to stores before they've got the back end of their business properly set up for wholesale. And that is what is getting in the way of retailers saying yes. So in this episode, I want to walk you through some of the common red flags that I see when I'm reviewing product-based business owners like catalogs and things like that. And I'll also share what makes pitches stand out in a crowded inbox. If you have been second-guessing your wholesale pitch, then this episode is definitely for you. Let's dig into what is really holding you back and how to fix it. Now, before we dive in, I do want to mention here that today's episode is brought to you by our Proof Your Product Resource Library. That's where you can get your hands on a lot of free resources like templates and workshops and things like that to help you start, streamline, and scale your business. And you can do it in your own way and at your own pace. Now, we specialize in wholesale, so a lot of the resources there are geared towards those wanting to sell wholesale, but you can get access at prooftoproduct.com/resources. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. Since 2011, I've coached thousands of brands whose products can be found on the shelves of indie shops and big box stores all around the world. If you are a creative entrepreneur that makes and sells physical goods, you're in the right place. Here on Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies for product development, sales, marketing, and more. It's like your weekly dose of business school, and we're going to help you confidently grow your revenue in your own way and at your own pace. So let's get started. Okay, let me start this off with a quick story. I worked with a brand recently who had spent months tweaking their pitch email before they came to me. They had tried different subject lines. They had tried different calls to actions. They had rewritten the body of their email several times. They dropped in different images. And they'd even paid a copywriter to help draft the first round. And yet, they were sending out this pitch and they were getting very few responses, no email replies, no orders, and they were feeling really frustrated because they were putting so much work and time and energy into this one pitch email. And it was the first one in their series, so they wanted to make sure it was strong. But I said, okay, let's take a step back and look under the hood of this business and figure out, are there other places in your sales process that might need fixing? Because your pitch is just that first touch point. But if stores are clicking on those emails and going someplace else and there's issues on the back end with how they purchase or the terms of the sale or anything like that, you might be losing people after they've clicked through your email. And so we took a look and there were a lot of things we needed to fix. They weren't priced correctly for wholesale, which was a major one. In fact, they were actually losing money on every order that was coming in the door. So I'm glad that we worked together and caught this. She also needed to adjust her order minimums and some of her other terms and conditions. And so we made those quick fixes and she sent the exact same pitch out that she'd been stressing about. And she landed 3 new stores in that same week. So I share this to tell you, if you have been stressing over your pitch emails, if you have not been hearing back from stores, if you are not getting the response you're wanting from your cold pitches that you're sending out to wholesale prospects, most of the time, the problem is not your pitch. It is often your wholesale foundations. And so I want to walk you through 3 common red flags that I see when I'm working with clients. And I will tell you, these are red flags that I see not just with brand new wholesalers, but also with seasoned people who have been wholesaling for a long time. So Let's get through them. The first big red flag is that people are pricing themselves outside of industry standards. Now, depending on what kind of products you sell, there are firmer industry standards around pricing for some segments. The greeting card world is pretty firm, but the art print world is kind of fluid. So if your pricing is off, whether it's above industry standard or below industry standard, that is going to cause retailers to pause. And they're going to wonder why. And they're going to think to themselves, okay, if you're below price, is the quality of this inferior to others on the market? Or is this going to take a long time for me to receive this item? If you're way above industry standard pricing, maybe they're going to wonder, why is this happening? And is this going to cut too much into my profit margins? Could I get this somewhere else for a lower price point? So whether you're below industry averages or above them, it will cause buyers to pause and stop, which that friction in and of itself is going to slow down your buying process, right? I have seen this kind of friction created from even like a difference of like 50 cents or a dollar in the pricing. Somebody was above or below by a dollar and it created that extra friction. So take a look at your pricing. Make sure that you're dialed in to what your type of product is selling for in the market. Understand what shops are spending on other similar quality products. And if you are above industry average because your products are more luxurious or higher quality or something like that, make sure you're articulating that. Like, address that question in your pitch so that people understand why. And the same goes for under, but honestly, most people are undercharging just because they're not aware that the industry is higher. So if you're under and you should be at, move your products up. Okay, the second red flag that I see when we're doing these kind of audits is incorrect or missing terms and conditions. So I talk about terms and conditions, wholesale terms and conditions, as guardrails for every sale that you make. And the truth is, retailers want predictability. They want to know what to expect. And your terms and conditions lay out those expectations, not just for the buyer, but also for you. You will know what the terms of the deal are, and they will know how much they're going to need to spend, how quickly products will arrive, payment terms, all of those details that really do play into their buying decisions. So imagine if a store was ordering $500 worth of candles, but they didn't know if those were going to arrive in 2 weeks or 2 months. That might cause them to pause on ordering, right? That uncertainty may make them skip ordering, especially if it's something that is a seasonal scent or an item that they need in a certain time frame. So we want our terms and conditions to be very clear and to be thorough. I also recommend that folks are more rigid in the written terms and conditions and then flexible in practice. So if you need to make adjustments on a one-off basis for a store, you can absolutely do that. But in general, we want our written terms and conditions to be strong and clear and concise and really hone in on everything that the buyer needs to know to make their buying decision. The third red flag I see when we start to pull back the curtain on why pitches aren't working is the overuse of discounting. This is my opinion, but I think this is a carryover from brands that started selling direct to consumer first and then they started dabbling in wholesale. Friends, wholesale and direct to consumer are very different business models. They require different strategies for sales and marketing. And when I see brands over discounting, I commonly realize and know that they were a D2C brand first, and they are trying to pull that tactic over to wholesale. And it really just doesn't translate in the same way that it does in D2C. If your main sales tactic is offering discounts and you're sending out emails about these discounts you're constantly offering, you are teaching your customers to wait until you have a sale. So I had a jewelry brand that I was working with, and before she came to me, she was doing like every couple months, they'd offer 20% off. And when she came to work with me, I said, hey, we got to like tailor this off. We got to limit our wholesale discounting periods to one or two times a year. And she was really nervous about it because she was worried that sales were going to stall out. And they did for a little while. I'm not going to lie. When we stopped discounting, her orders did kind of slow down a bit. But what we did was we tweaked the messaging and her marketing. We put the focus on things like quality, the extensiveness of the product line she had, the materials she was using. We did a lot more storytelling, and we also really leaned heavily on the wholesale side into how this could be merchandised and the benefits to the stores of having this product line on the shelves. So we were able to like turn it around, and she started getting orders consistently again. Like it picked back up to the same volume she had and actually exceeded the volume she had when she was just doing discounts. But she wasn't offering any discounts anymore. She was limiting them to one or two times a year, which is typically what I recommend. So on the wholesale side, I typically recommend that you do one or two sales per year. And most people are aligning these with trade show season and fair market season. And I will say that most people are doing, this has changed over the years, most people today are doing a percentage off discount twice a year in alignment with fair market. And the reason for that is because that is what is technologically easiest to do on the fair platform. It's not as easy to do other types of traditional wholesale incentives, things like free product with purchase or, you know, a free display or free shipping or things like that. And so people are still offering those incentives when they're in person at trade shows or taking direct orders or doing direct sales. But when it comes to fair market or doing online types of sales, people are typically offering percentage off discounts, and it's happening twice a year, kind of in tandem with fair market and or trade show season. If you're going to be offering other things throughout the year, I just would encourage you to not be offering discounts. I would try to get more of your product on the shelves. And so that's where like the free product with purchase comes in and different things like that. So the third red flag here is just overuse of discounting. Let's not do it. We don't want to train our customers on the wholesale side or direct to consumer side to only purchase from us when we have a sale. So those are the three most red flags that I see. I also want to talk real quick about like, okay, once we clean those things up, what do I see happening that could be corrected inside the pitch themselves? So if the foundations are one problem and we fix that, what also is now making the pitches fall flat? So there's a couple things here I want to bring to your attention. I'm seeing a lot of people with unclear pitches. If your email just says, check out my line, and you have no catalog link or a next step that you want the buyer to take, they're going to fall off at that point. Because if a buyer has to go dig for your links, if they have to go find you someplace, they're probably not going to do that work. They're busy people. They don't really have the time to do it. So if we're not making our pitches clear on what the next step is, we don't have a clear call to action, we're going to lose people at that point. So make sure that you have a really clear call to action or next step in your email of what you want them to do next. The second thing I'm seeing in pitches are incomplete details. So I have seen pitches with, you know, gorgeous photos, but no wholesale pricing. And I've seen emails with lots of backstory of who I am and why I create the products I create, but no bullet point quick facts about their wholesale line or how quickly the product will receive. And you're going to lose buyers at that point because they need to know what they're buying, how much they need to spend, how quickly they're going to get it, and what the next step is, like how they can purchase. If you're not having a complete and thorough pitch with all those details, it's going to be a quick delete. So yes, we want it to be beautiful. Yes, we want to build the relationship and we want them to understand who we are and the people behind the brand. But we want to really focus these pitches on the information that a buyer needs to know to place that order. So avoid having incomplete or emails that are focused too much on you rather than them. The other thing is I see inconsistency with these pitches. I see a lot of folks who are sending out just like one cold pitch email. And then they're like, why isn't anybody responding? It's going to take multiple touch points for them to get to know your brand, for them to see your product, for them to purchase from you. And if you're sending one email in January and, you know, another email 6 months later, that is going to get lost in the inbox shuffle. So, you know, we certainly don't want to bother people. Again, we want to come at this from a place of service, but we also want to be sending consistent follow-up. So reaching out, obviously the end goal here is to get them to purchase from us. And when they do purchase from us, or if they do consent to receiving more emails from us, then we can add them to our newsletter list and they can, you know, get your wholesale emails every month. But I see a lot of folks who are like one and done. They send one pitch and then they don't follow up and they're like, why isn't anyone buying? So kind of we have a whole workflow process that we give you inside of Papercamp, and we give you templates actually too that are really great. But I want you to have a system. I want you to have a process that you follow so that you're doing consistent, meaningful, helpful outreach on a regular basis to people. Okay, so as a quick example here to kind of wrap up, like, the pitch should be clear, it should be complete, and we should be sending multiple touch points. If we're not doing those things, then we're going to lose people. If you're sending out emails and you are clear and complete and consistent, that's going to look something like, you know, here's my new fall candle collection. My minimum order is $150. My lead time is 3 weeks. And you can order directly from my Shopify site here, you know, and you're linking out to it. That is a very easy yes for buyers. You're telling them what they're going to spend, how quickly they're going to get the product. You're showing them what the product line is, and you're telling them where to go to buy it. That's like one line of an email, but it's very packed full of information the buyer needs to know to purchase. Okay, so we talked about the red flags to be aware of. We talked about how to make your pitches stronger. Your action steps for today's email or today's podcast are, you know, again, ensure that your pricing is working for wholesale. We don't want your price too low or too high. That does create a red flag. We want you to review your terms and conditions, make sure those are solid, make sure they're clear. Clarity is kindness when it comes to the sales process. We want to make it as easy as possible for our customers to purchase from us, and those two pieces are going to be a big part of that. Limit your discounting, lead with value, not markdowns. We want to lead with the high quality of your work and why it is beneficial to the store to purchase from you. I also want to talk about shifting your mindset here real quick. Retailers do want to hear from you. I talk to so many brands who are like, oh, I'm going to bother people. I sound salesy. I don't want to bother people. And if you remind yourself that you're coming at this from a place of service, you are helping them do their job by showing them great products. You can do this from a way that feels good. You can sell from a place that feels good. And so if you're not feeling good about it, then I would reassess what your pitch is saying and how you're presenting yourself. But ultimately, these stores need to be buying products to sell to their customers. And why not you? Let's get the right products in front of them to really make a difference in your business and theirs. And then also too, we want to add value at each touch point. So we're sharing new products, we're highlighting bestsellers, we're featuring a new collection, and we're having very clear calls to action in every email so that the purchasing process is clear and there's no hurdles, there's no friction, there's nothing there in the way. So my big takeaway here as we wrap this up, your pitch probably isn't the problem. It's not broken. You're not doing anything wrong. Most often, it's just that wholesale foundations need a little bit of tightening or tweaking. When your pricing, your terms, and your product line are strong, your pitch will land, and that will lead to more orders. So instead of rewriting those subject lines for the 50th time, focus on the back end, make sure everything's looking good there, and then we can turn to your pitch and make improvements there too. Also, if you are just getting started with wholesale, I want to encourage you to go to proofyourproduct.com/workshop. I have a 25-minute workshop that's called Is Wholesale Right for You? It's packed with like no fluff action steps to get started with wholesale. And so if you're like wondering, are my foundations in place? That would be a really good place to start so that we can get those solidified and you can start pitching with confidence. Okay, friends, if you found today's episode helpful, I would really appreciate it if you could share it with a friend. I will be back soon with a new episode, but I appreciate you listening today. Thanks so much.